The San Diego Unified School District has a vaccine mandate, which is believed to be one of the harshest in the nation. We're going to talk about this right now, and actually an emergency injunction against the mandate, and we'll be talking with Paul Jono. We've had him on before. He is an attorney affiliated with the Thomas More Society. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Paul, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be back. Thanks, Jerry.
Sure. Now, first of all, let me help us set the table, because when you and I have talked in the past, it's usually related to a directly religious-oriented type case. Vaccine mandates, though, I guess, in some, you know, to some people, there is a religious issue involved. But explain your involvement and the Thomas More Society's involvement in something related to the vaccine.
Sure. So there is a religious component with these mandates for many people of faith who are firmly pro-life. They have, you know, and this is not new to this vaccine. There's many pro-life people who know that there are many vaccines that are made with or tested with aborted fetal cell lines, and they find it immoral and violates their conscience to benefit from a vaccine that was developed using aborted babies. So our clients. And by the way, many churches and different church leaders have come out differently on this, but people of faith can, you know, people of well-formed consciences can come out both ways. So is what the Catholic Church says, at least. But our client's a devout Christian, 16-year-old student at Scripps Ranch High School in San Diego. She has strong objections to taking the currently available vaccines on religious grounds. Unfortunately, the school district is offering a number of exemptions, I think seven secular exemptions, and they're offering teachers religious exemptions, but not students. And so the whole framework was, when we looked at it, was clearly unconstitutional. And but what they're basically telling students is if you fit one of these seven categories of exemptions, you can remain unvaccinated and come to school. However, if you have any other objections, including religious objections to the vaccines, then you have to do home school, distance learning, and you can't play sports. So it's basically a separate but equal situation. They're mistreating people of faith with sincere religious beliefs. I mean, you can't just like make up a religious belief. These are people, you know, people that are opposed to these vaccines have good reasons for being opposed to them, and those need to be respected and honored if they're going to be creating other exemptions. And that's been, you know, there's a long line of, I won't get into legalese, but there's a long line of Supreme Court authority that basically says comparable, you know, secular activity needs to be treated, you know, religious activity needs to be treated at least as good as comparable secular activity. And when you look at whether two activities are comparable for constitutional analysis, you look at the risks they pose. So, for example, with the church closure cases that we handled, very similar issue. They were closing churches, but they were leaving open retail. Both establishments have the same risk of transmission of the disease. Well, whether you're against the vaccine for medical reasons or religious reasons, if you're unvaccinated, you have the same risk of transmitting the virus to other students. So if they're willing to tolerate that risk for people with secular objections, they have to be willing to tolerate that risk for people with religious objections. It's really not complicated. And the Ninth Circuit recognized that to some degree last night with this emergency order, which we haven't read the full order yet, I should say.
Wow.
They've only released a short order that essentially just gives us the emergency injunction on a narrow ground, and we don't have the full order yet.
And I should say this is being recorded on the afternoon or in the afternoon of November 29th. And you learned about this just when? This morning or last night?
Last night. We asked for it. So today is actually the deadline for all students in the school district to get their first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. If they don't meet that deadline, then basically they can't go to school next January. So that's the just given how long it takes to get the shots to be fully vaccinated. Today was the deadline for the first shot.
Okay.
So we got the order last night.
And so your clients then benefited, of course, from this emergency injunction, of course.
Yes. I mean, I think the mandate essentially district-wide is being, you know, paused for now until they come into compliance with the law.
Okay. And help me to understand, what were the secular objections? You said there were seven of them or something.
So there's basically... Well, the first and the most ridiculous is that this isn't a secular one, but is that teachers who are allowed to get religious exemptions to the vaccine. And we know for a fact, you know, it's not really a matter of dispute, that students, you know, the young kids are much less risk of this virus than older adults. But yet, teachers have the opportunity to get religious exemptions, but not students. So that's one of the most absurd parts of this policy. But beyond that, every student or teacher can get a medical exemption. And there's actually more discretion involved in a medical exemption than it sounds like. I mean, basically a doctor has to justify it, but you can get a medical exemption from taking the vaccine. There's categories of students who can get deferrals for a period of time. They say at least 30 days, but we really don't know if that can be extended. But migrant, homeless, foster youth, military family, disabled students with an IEP get deferrals of the vaccine. And then if you're pregnant, you can get a deferral for the duration of your pregnancy, even though the school district medical experts say that you should get the vaccine if you're pregnant. But they offer a separate exemption for pregnant students. And I'm not saying that these are bad exemptions. I'm just saying that these are exemptions that now make this law riddled with exemptions but leave out religious exemptions. And that's kind of the issue, which is if you're going to create all these secular exemptions, if there's religious people with sincere beliefs, and that's uncontested in this case, then they should also have an exemption as well.
And you're saying that in this particular case, it was on behalf of a 16-year-old student, so presumably this is somebody obviously in high school. By the way, as far as the San Diego Unified School District's policy toward the vaccine mandate, at what ages are they talking about, or what grades?
So they released a roadmap. They want everybody 5 and up to get the vaccine eventually, but only after they're FDA approved. So currently, 16 and up is FDA approved. Then they're going to go 12 and up. Then they're going to go 5 and up. So their plan is to get everybody fully vaccinated, every child, no matter. And, you know, look, the truth is, from a medical standpoint, we have very renowned medical experts who've said there's no scientific basis to mandate the vaccine on every kid. Some kids that are higher risk might have a legitimate need for the vaccine after talking to their physician and their parents. But to issue a blanket-wide mandate, no state has done this, by the way, other than California. Yeah. And in California, there's only a couple of school districts who are trying to do this. And San Diego Unified is basically an outlier in the entire country. So there's no scientific rationale, but there's also no legal basis to do it.
So California is among the strictest of the states, and San Diego is among the strictest of the school districts within California itself.
That's correct.
You know what's so interesting? This is being recorded in our studio, and we're in Florida. And our governor, DeSantis, I mean, I don't mean to brag compared to your governor, but honestly, there's a huge difference. And at first, a lot of people on the left were just totally tearing down DeSantis as if his policies were causing more death. Some people even wanted to liken him to death because of the COVID. And yet it turns out the way he's treating things with a lot more freedom is causing the COVID to go down, COVID cases in this state.
And we have two experts, one's Dr. Scott French and one's Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who basically make that point in great detail, which is that our policies right now, especially as they pertain to children in California, really, really don't make any scientific sense. And there's a lot to say about that that I don't have time to cover today, but that's what you're saying is very true. So.
The judge, one of the judges said, any unvaccinated student attending in-person classes poses the same risk to the school district's interest in ensuring a safe school environment. Comment on that, if you would.
So that's the issue in the case, which is if their compelling interest is ensuring safety of students, if they're willing to compromise that interest for some reason that are secular, then they have to be willing to compromise that interest for reasons that are religious. And so if they were to say, for example, that any unvaccinated person, regardless of the reason, had to stay home, that would be a different policy. But what they're saying is you can come here unvaccinated for these reasons, but if your reason for coming to school unvaccinated is because you're a person of faith, well, that's not good enough. Stay home. So that's the kind of thing that's unconstitutional, and it's on its face just unconstitutional. So that's the issue.
And grossly unfair. It makes people of faith, in effect, second-class citizens. And it's interesting, too, that this is – we're talking about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. It wasn't too long ago when people talked about the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals, you know, because it was so liberal.
It is one of the – it has been. I don't know if this has changed, but historically the most reversed court of appeals in the country. I think that President Trump had, you know, definitely appointed some good judges on that court, and it's the balance of conservative versus liberal judges has kind of evened almost. So it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Okay, as far as the Thomas More Society in San Diego, you and I spoke at an earlier time about, you know, how they were trying to change the name of one of the schools against the founder or the virtual founder of California, who was a very devout Catholic priest, Father Junipero Serra, and he's the one who created all those missions and so forth, of which San Diego was one of them. But the politically correct folks don't like Father Serra and other missionaries that, you know, brought the gospel to California. And where is that case standing right now?
So that case was filed in state court. Unfortunately, just like our other vaccine case, the trial court level judge, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but got it wrong and denied the request for injunction. We're on appeal in that case. It's not on an emergency track, but we're pretty confident that the ruling was, you know, legally erroneous. It will be reversed. It's just going to take a little longer than we would have all wanted. But the case is proceeding. We've served discovery. Interestingly enough, it's the school, San Diego Unified School District is the primary defendant. So another case involving that same defendant. But we are confident that ultimately we'll prevail, that it's on a slower track of appeal, which is kind of the standard track. But we do think we'll win ultimately. So,
yeah. You know, it's interesting. Going back to the vaccine thing, it seems as if, in a very real sense, there is the battle for religious freedom is the ultimate issue here, because how can you treat people with religious exemptions, legitimate religious exemptions, as if they're, you know, sorry, that's an exemption that's not, you know, not worth pursuing. How can you do
right.
that, you know?
And you know, our clients aren't anti-vaccine. This is not an anti-vaccine case. This is a religious liberty case. And so if they can violate people's faith and religious liberty and force them to get a vaccine that they don't want to get in order to just keep their basic rights of attending school and playing sports, then what are they going to do next? So it is a question of, you know, making sure the lines are drawn where they should be. But this is not, you know, a challenge to vaccination, mandatory vaccination generally. This is a religious liberty case. And I think you hit the nail on the head, which is, basically what they're saying is it's a separate, you can be a person of faith against the vaccine, but you're not welcome on campus. So it's a separate but equal situation. It really is, if you think about it.
Now, the Supreme Court has turned down some emergency appeals related to vaccine mandates, even when there was a religious exemption involved. But I never know what to make of the Supreme Court turning something down. And maybe people shouldn't make too big of a deal of it, because they receive so many requests and there's only so many cases they can take.
Yeah, so there was one ruling that was a little disappointing, where three justices said that they were willing to grant. This was, I think it was involving healthcare workers in Maine.
Okay.
And three justices said that they were willing to grant the emergency injunction. And then two of them said that, you know, didn't say they were or were not, but just said they'd rather rule on this when it's fully briefed, not on an emergency appeal. And then the others basically said they would deny relief, and that was the majority. So we don't know how they're going to rule on this issue, but I will say this. That was a case involving healthcare workers, and it's factually distinguishable. I think ultimately they'll prevail in that case too, and I think actually the Thomas More Society has a healthcare worker case pending at the U.S. Supreme Court as we speak.
Wow.
We could get a ruling in that case sometime this week. But the point is, this is a case involving vaccine mandates on kids. I think it's much more factually, you know, egregious in terms of,
yeah.
you know, because a health care worker mandate, one big argument they have is the healthcare workers are constantly around high-risk people, and there's that's been used a lot to justify, you know, the mandates in that context. This is a very different fact pattern, where you have no rational justification for a mandate on kids, and they're not around high-risk people. They're around teachers who are largely vaccinated or who have the right to get religious exemption. So I think the Supreme Court would be much more inclined to get involved in this case if they don't rule favorably on this other one that's pending on their docket right now.
Paul Jonah, thanks so much for being with us. ThomasMoreSociety.org. Paul, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry. My
sure.
pleasure.
Bye-bye.